Blog Talk Radio.
The U.S. has a problem with extremism, but it might not be the kind you're thinking of. In terms of sheer numbers of attacks in the U.S. over the last decade, one group in particular should stand out to you. 11 worshippers shot and killed in a Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh by a man shouting anti-Semitic slurs. 14 pipe bombs at the doors of leading Democratic politicians and donors and CNN. 2 black customers shot in a grocery store in Kentucky by a white man after he failed to make it inside a predominantly black church minutes before. All within the last 2 weeks. White supremacist and other forms of right-wing violence are currently the deadliest active domestic extremist movements in the U.S., according to data from several civil rights groups that track hate crimes and extremist violence. Southern Poverty Law Center is one of those groups. We spoke with the center's Heidi Byrick, who's been following extremist movements for almost 2 decades, to help break it all down. Let's just start with the numbers. Over the last decade, right-wing extremists committed more than 70% of extremist-related murders, according to a report published earlier this year by the Anti-Defamation League Center on Extremism. The Government Accountability Office similarly reported in 2017 that right-wing extremists were responsible for 73% of fatal extremist incidents since 9/11. The most common groups victimized by these extremists are those who are black, Hispanic, or part of a multiracial couple or family. It's important to note that right-wing domestic extremism is an umbrella term under which various right-wing ideologies fall in the U.S. Crimes committed by people who are anti-government, anti-Semitic, homophobic, Islamophobic, xenophobic, and fascist, among other things, also fall under this category. But of all the subgroups that fall under right-wing domestic extremism, white supremacists have committed the most attacks in recent years, like the Charleston church shooting and the Charlottesville attack.
When we talk about terrorism at the Southern Poverty Law Center, we're talking about white supremacy. And what I mean by that is somebody who believes the white race is literally better than all the other races. And these folks usually believe that the United States should be what they call a white ethno-state.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's Saturday morning, and time for unscripted, unapologetic straight talk on police reform and race relations. It's time to go behind the blue curtain with your host, retired 25-year police officer Stan Mason.
I gotta apologize to y'all this morning. I know it's still going, the live is still going, but I can't see y'all for some reason. Over Facebook right now. So as long as it's still recording, I'm gonna go ahead and roll with it. And we're gonna go ahead and do the thing anyway. You guys hold the side, so I'm gonna have to go back and comment on it. I know Ali is out. And we're gonna get started on today's show. We're going to talk about a hot topic today, for sure, for sure. If you want to call in, 646-716-4621, press 1, so that I know you want to comment, and we'll get you on. This show is dedicated to the voice of the media. You know, everybody's welcome to call in, even the haters and trolls. Y'all can call in. I ain't mad at you. Tupac said that. I'll take it, and we're going to coin it and move with it. This is not a black show, white show, anti-blue show, anti-cop show. This show is about real talk on real problems and real issues. On this show, you're going to get what you can't get anywhere else. You're going to get a chance to come on and talk and say how you feel. It's not imperative that you agree with me, disagree with me. It doesn't matter to me. But we need to vet. And we talk about hard topics here and hard subjects. And sometimes colorful expletives and colorful metaphors will come out. They're better known as four-letter words or curse words. When I do it, I put a dollar in what I call the curse jar. I got it from Joe Madison on SiriusXM, and then I give that money to charity or needy person at the end of the month. Now, there are some rules, though. The N-word is not allowed here unless it's coming in an audio quote and it's relevant to the conversation. The B-word, the C-word, we don't use those here, so we're just going to keep it real, you know, but feel free to chime in, call in, say how you feel, because today's subject is a hot one. You know, I got a couple of guests with me today, of course. Well, not even a guest anymore. He got a chair up in the house. you know, retired detective, 32-year homicide detective up in Chicago, Joe Mosley. Y'all get used to Joe because Big JoJo is going to be up in the house every week because this brother brings a lot to the table. So that's how we're going to do this here. I'm also going to have Walter Gus Glover is going to chime in, Big Gus in the 804 as always, and, of course, Tyrone K. Dunmore. But now we're going to go ahead and get right into today's show. And today's show came about because, as I see it, we're not getting anywhere with dealing with domestic terrorism. We can build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. And this is not going to be a political show, so Trump fans, don't get your feelings all hurt and then want to call up here and get all crazy and off the chain because I offended and said something about Donald Trump. It's no secret. I don't like Donald Trump. I don't care about Donald Trump one way or another, but I don't build this show around Donald Trump, okay? So if you're going to call up, that's fine. You know, you can call up. I'll let you say what you want to say. But we can build all the wall we want to build down there on the Mexican border because, you know, like he said, they're rapists and murderers and they're not sending their best. So, okay, let's build the wall. That wall is not going to make your little suburban schools where all these shootings take place any safer. That wall is not going to make the black churches any safer, including the three that burnt down in Louisiana at the hands of a white supremacist, which the president still has not said anything about. That wall is not going to make the synagogue any safer. It's not going to make the mosque any safer. It's not going to make the workplace any safer. Why? Because these people that are doing these crazy-ass shootings are not Muslims. They're not angry black people. They're not even Asians. They're not from India. They're not from Canada. They're not from England. They're not from Nigeria. They're from right here. And they, for all intents and purposes, oftentimes appear like what most people would say, he's a red, white, and blue, all-American good boy. But we make excuses. They're mentally disturbed. They're 35, and their dad left the house when they were three. They're on medicine. They're depressed. While all the time, their social media accounts are flagging white supremacist information. And I'm going to make this clear up front. This is not a let's beat up white people show. That's not what this is. Because we got some crazy-ass black folks off the chain, too. They're just not doing these mass shootings. So this is not the purpose. If somebody wants to take this as an opportunity, let's beat up white people today. We're not going to do that because there's a lot of good white people that don't agree with these clowns that are running around out here. But they do what they do, and they mask it in Christianity. All the while, we're complaining about Muslims and Islam. So the hypocrisy of it is stunning. Big JoJo.
Wasn't slavery masked in Christianity too?
No, that's colonial Christianity.
It was.
But
you get my point.
Oh yeah, it was. Now let's do this. Give everybody, because you teach terrorism,
yep.
So you're like the resident expert. I got to call you JT, Joe Terrorism. Can you go ahead and just give us your qualifications, and let me get your feelings on this domestic terrorism that we have in the country?
Well, my background is I hold a BA from Chicago State, a master's in finance with a concentration in performance management. I'm a graduate of Northwestern Command Staff and Command School of Police Administration. I've been an adjunct professor for the last 14 years. I've taught subjects on terrorism, juvenile justice, restorative justice, and constitutional law at some point. I've taught and been a part of different training scenarios. But the interesting thing about this whole domestic terrorism is that we have not even begun to label it as that. We have not looked at it from the point of view that this is an internal war, for lack of a better term, and not external. In my classes, it's funny because I'm getting ready to start another session, but in one of my class sessions, I had a police officer who I've known who actually sat in front of me, in front of my class, and said, and I quote, "The Klan was not a terrorist organization." Did you hear that? The original, you know, unfortunately, I have to give Director Singletary some props. You know, the original boy is from the hood with a Klan. Now, the problem that I have is that I actually have some experience through family background, because my family, my father comes from New Orleans, Iberville Parish. My mother comes from a place called Union Springs, Alabama. We had run-ins with them. My grandfather, to this day, we don't know how I did it. My grandfather on my mother's side bought the family out of slavery. We started with 700 acres. They took 300 from us based on eminent domain and ran a highway through it. I said, oh, no, you can't have that. In fact, there's a piece of land that stretches through Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. It's called the Black Belt. It runs 50 miles wide and a couple of hundred miles long, and it's the most fertile land in the country. In the country. A majority of your black farmers were there, took it. Didn't even, I mean, original gangsters with the big G just took it. So now we have other issues that go along with this terrorism. What is the aim of the terrorism? We talk about in my class, how did it get started? What's the focus? Is there a purpose? And I must tell you, there's always a purpose. You may not see it, but there's always a purpose behind it.
Tell you what, brother. Let's that's a perfect segue. I'm gonna put on my extra eyes here. And once again, to the Facebook Live crew, there's a black screen, so I'm not ignoring y'all. I know it's recorded, and I just can't see you guys coming in and out. I'm gonna read something, and this is from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and this is the shootings, the mass shootings that have taken place in the United States. This is just 2019. In January, there were 28. 36 people were killed. 92 people were wounded. In February, there were 22. 41 people were killed. 68 were wounded. In March so far, there were 20. 13 killed. 89 wounded. In April, there have been 35 events. 30 killed and 138 wounded, and one of these occurred at a school. Now, I'm just going to go a little bit deeper real quick, just very briefly, and I'm not going to read all of these because anybody on the Facebook Live that's looking, I mean, I'll probably cost a small tree printing this stuff out. And this, some of this stuff is, this is all 2019 stuff. May 1st, 2019, Boston, Massachusetts, one dead, three injured. April 30th, 2019, Charlotte, North Carolina, two killed, four injured. April 28th, 2019, Westchester Township, Ohio, four killed. April 28th, 2019, Nashville, Tennessee, seven injured. April 28th, 2019, Birmingham, Alabama, four injured. April 28th, 2019, Baltimore, Maryland, one killed, seven injured. April 27th, 2019, Jackson, Mississippi, one killed, three injured. April 27th, 2019, Jackson, Michigan, four injured. April 27, 2019, Poway, P-O-W-A-Y, California, one killed, three injured. April 27, 2019, Westmoreland, Tennessee, seven killed, two injured. In April 26, 2019, Hugo, Oklahoma, four injured. April 21st, 2019, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, four injured. April 21st, 2019, Los Angeles, California, four injured. April 20th, 2019, Memphis, Tennessee, seven injured. April 20th, 2019, Corpus Christi, Texas, four injured. April 19th, 2019, Wichita, Kansas, four injured. April 18th, 2019, Louisville, Kentucky, four injured. April 16th, 2019, Germantown, Maryland, one killed, three injured. I mean, I could keep going. I probably got like 10 more pages, but it's in my hands. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, Second Amendment folks, don't get your feelings hurt. It's not a Second Amendment show today. Republicans and Democrats, don't get your feelings hurt. It's not a political show. But this country is crazy. It is crazy. We talk about Al-Qaeda. We talk about the Muslim Brotherhood is coming to get you. You know, we got more terrorism taking place in this country at the hands of Americans, carried out and planned by Americans that were born right here. And we're worried about Al-Qaeda. I'm going to play a real short clip real quick, Big Gus. I'm going to get to you.
In the past decade, the national conversation on terrorism has largely focused on Islamic extremist acts. However, law enforcement groups have made it clear that Muslim extremists make up a minute percentage of ideologically based terror attacks in the United States. So what's going on? Who is really committing terrorism in the U.S.? In 2014, the New York Times conducted a survey of U.S. police about terrorism. The greatest danger was cited as right-wing anti-government extremists, with Muslims posing a significantly smaller threat to Americans around the country. Since September 11, 2001, only about 9 American Muslims per year have taken part in terrorist plots in the U.S. In total, 20 incidents resulted in about 50 deaths. A 2012 study showed that in the same time period, right-wing extremists were responsible for about 337 attacks per year. In total, they killed more than 5 times the number of people killed by Muslims in the U.S. Right-wing extremists hold violent anti-government ideologies. Some notorious groups are neo-Nazis, Sovereign Citizens, and the KKK. According to one source from the Department of Justice, their attacks are based on the fear that the government will take away their guns and that the government and economy are going to collapse. Sovereign citizens are people who believe that the U.S. has no legal authority over them, based on the idea that they never agreed to become citizens. The FBI considers them a loosely connected terrorist group based on their disruptive activities and violent attacks. In 2014, a pair of anti-government terrorists killed 2 police officers and a civilian, leaving behind a swastika and a Gadsden flag. Another striking example of the overstated threat of Muslim terrorists is how they stack up to U.S. homicides. According to a 2014 study, after 9/11, 215,000 people were murdered in America. Only 0.02% of those murders were committed by Muslim terrorists. Additionally, 60% of all those murders came from 2 events, the 2002 Beltway snipers and the 2009 Fort Hood shootings. Despite a focus connecting Muslims to terrorism, police across the country have said they have been dealing with that threat for a long time and have a good grip on potential attacks. Meanwhile, right-wing groups have been on the rise and have been ignored in favor of an unrealistic fear of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. Statistically, it's clear that the greater threat to most Americans is the proliferation of right-wing extremism.
There it is. Right there. For everybody, before people get twisted and want to go blame Muslims, and, you know, I just feel like in this country, we can build all the wall we want to build. We can blame the Mexicans. We can blame everybody else. But we're not blaming the right people. These mass shootings that are carried out, hello, Dillenbrook, churches, synagogues, schools, workplaces, nightclubs, outdoor concerts. You know, I think that the people carrying out these things look so much like the people who are legislating the laws or lack of legislation that folks just don't want to get right on down to it. You know, I'll say it. Majority of these are white males. So when do we build the wall around them? And it's not every white person. Let's not get twisted. And for some white folks who will say, well, he's being racist, he's being this, you're probably the same people who applaud Trump that think that all Mexicans are rapists and murderers because of what a few do. But let's go on and be real about it. Who is shooting up schools and nightclubs and churches and bombings and burning up churches? Hello to the 3 in Louisiana that burned up that the president hasn't said a word about. How about that? It's not being political. We're being factual here. And anybody can call 646-716-4621, press 1, and we'll get you on. Big Gus, 804. What's up, brother?
How you doing this morning, man? Good to be back on the air. Hey, look. There is always some kind of political agenda behind every so-called terrorist act. And according to, I think, the definition of terrorist is the willful disruption and fear-mongering to put forward your political agenda. there is, to me, it baffles the mind. Why is the government so reluctant to call, you know, European Americans that do these heinous acts terrorists? I'm like, why? It's because they have a political agenda. And, you know, the fervor, it started a long time ago, but it really revved up when President Obama ran for office. You know, he has an Islamic-sounding name, although he's a proven Christian. They were trying to say he was part of the Muslim Brotherhood, and that got European Americans up in arms and all this stuff. So it's really more so of an anti-Muslim thing as opposed to a anti-black thing. But I do think, you know, the tide is changing now, man, because people, decent folks, are seeing now that these mass shootings, you know, I hate to say it, and you did say there's not a black or white show, but black people en masse are not going into churches and synagogues and shooting kids and blowing up schools or whatever. They're just not doing
We're
it.
We're not even going there singularly.
I know. And what they have to do is, until the United States government, until the United States government decides to say what it is and acknowledge that it's happening, it is never going to be the same. We're going to have more and more, and they're not even going to focus attention on homegrown domestic terrorists as opposed to Muslim Brotherhood coming over here and Al-Qaeda and Hamas and everybody coming over here. I know it's a little deeper than that because they've been fighting for years over in the Middle East, man, but it's also our meddling in Middle Eastern affairs and other countries, you know, interior, you know, issues. So we need to – there's a lot of stuff we can do to stop that or to cut it back.
Can I – look, Stan, can I get in there?
Come on.
Here's the thing. The interesting thing about terrorism, and even in my class, one of the things I start out with is understanding – that there is no set norm for, there is no universal or codified title for what terrorism is. However, if you ask an average person, they can tell you in their mind. The problem is that you have three things going. You've got the theoretician, the practitioner, and the end user. What happens is the theoretician, let's say your politician, gets information from the theoretician who's a PhD, ED, who've listened to some people somewhere. However, the input is never put in by the people that are actual the end users of the whole idea. The other thing we should really focus on, particularly for us, is this thing called urban terrorism. And again, in my class, what I teach is this. Before we go kicking around in somebody else's yard, we have living laboratories on how to or how we should deal with terrorism. They're called gangs. If you look at the mindset of the average gang member, and look at what they're doing with the so-called terrorists, it's the same person. How do you get a guy to strap on a bomb to go into a market? Same way you get a 16-year-old to pull a gun and shoot four or five people standing on the corner. It's the same ideology, same process. So if we want to understand them, we got to understand us. The other thing is we've got to define what is urban terrorism. To me, these gangs are more terroristic than Al-Qaeda is. Al-Qaeda ain't over here shooting these kids in these neighborhoods. These are Pookie and Ray Ray shooting these kids up. We have got to deal with this before we go over there kicking in their backyard.
Amen.
You know, that's interesting because I'm gonna let you respond to this, but I'm going to go a little deeper. I said this at a deal last week for Nipsey Hussle that I spoke at. You know, this is one of the things we can speak up about, the domestic terrorism and the things that are happening in the black church and things that are happening to us. But we can't step away from one fact. This is not to say that we deserve or this happens to us for a reason, but you're right. One of the things that aggravates me is when I see these bullshit videos of black people at their worst.
Yep.
They could be great people, but this is just a moment. Any of us can be caught at a bad moment. And instead of brothers stepping in to try to defuse the situation, everybody grabs a phone and starts yelling, World Star. Then they send that crap to World Star, who promotes it because it gets people to come there and look and get some likes and shares, which likes and shares are the new currency today. They get some likes, they get some shares, and then they're selling whatever other mess they sell. Now, we can say, well, you know, I'm just there for entertainment. Yeah, you are, but you know what? When other people need to fortify or substantiate their malconformed, idealistic perception of black people as being violent, guess where they go as a source value? World Star. And guess who sent the videos? two World Star black people. Now, if World Star was a white place called White Star that featured all black people acting crazy and fighting, we'd be up in arms. But for some reason, we openly submit this stuff to World Star. And I inject that into this conversation because it has to be here because it is dangerous being black living in America, whether you're going to church, whether you're in school, whether you're driving a car, and now it's dangerous being Jewish. And why? You could be Jewish at the synagogue and get shot up. You could just go to work and the stock market falls, and you got some nut that just left the house after he didn't kill the cat, the dog, the wife, the kids, the goldfish, the mailman on the way to work, and go to work and kill everybody else because his stock fell. But yet, we're focused on other things that our government will not recognize and act on the domestic terrorists in this country. Stop making excuses for these people. Oh, well, his parents were separated. So what? These poor people. We just got done separating poor little Mexican kids from their Mexican parents. And you want me to be all broke up because Dylan Bruce's mother left his dad? See, we make excuses for them, which empowers them. And it doesn't help when they're... Go ahead, brother.
But you got to understand something. You got to understand something. When they see us, we're offenders. When you see them, they're victims. Mm-hmm. Right here, we got a heroin epidemic going. Epidemic.
Yep.
But when they catch ours, they lock them up. When they catch them, they're treated. Again, they treat these. If you look at the mass shootings, most of those guys had, again, there's mental issues. Well, heck yeah, they got mental issues. They just killed 6 or 7 people. Yeah, they got a mental issue. Doesn't mean they're necessarily crazy. I would suggest to you that they're not. Because here's a definite, let me say this to you. Just because he's a murderer doesn't make him crazy. Of all the guys I've talked to, all the men that I've spoken to, murderers had more of a plan than anybody else. Because one thing about them, they had a plan, which implies intelligence. And that's where we get this thing confused.
Yeah, they knew how to reload. They were able to function and reload under stress. And that's something we as police officers have to learn on the range. And we're just under the stress of a time clock and qualifying. And the mechanical skills of trying to do that. And you got these people that can do it while they're actually killing people? Come on, big girls, jump back in here.
Yeah, right on. That was a good observation there from the other guest. It hurts, man, when you see different things going on. And you could just take it as a regular, average citizen from the outside looking in, it looked like the system is stacked against people of color and poor people. So that's truth. I mean, and that's truth. I can't say it is. It's the proliferation of guns. Like I said, that on a number of shows a long time ago, it's the proliferation of guns. And if guns keep us safe, then this should be the safest country on the planet. So that's telling you,
let me say this to you. Forgive me, brother. I have to disagree, and let me tell you why. Two things. There's not a black manufacturer of weapons in this country. We don't import heroin. We don't import cocaine.
Right.
But we're the number one users of all these things, end users. But I will tell you this, and understand this and listen to me very clearly. Just because they call it conspiracy don't mean it isn't.
Yep.
You got the Kennedy files that are not going to be open until 2050. Why? Because they said in the report, because some of the conspirators were still alive. And I quote the word, conspirators.
Yep.
So don't believe that everything just happens to be as it is. You don't make these guns. We don't grow heroin. We don't grow poppies. We don't grow cocaine.
Right.
But how does it get here? So you have to look at this from somewhat a prejudicial eye and understand that it used to be the chant was, we are number one, we are number one. Well, let's see, we're the number one victims of homicide. We're the number one we're the number one employers of the penal justice system. We are the end users again. And we are almost right there. With genocide, we are right there with genocide. We're number one in the wrong categories. But I will challenge anybody on this show to listen. Check this out. I dare you to go to any major university. I don't care what state you're in. Look at their advanced degrees and tell me who's standing there. And then you should be scared because we are not going. Our kids ain't going there. If I'm wrong, tell me.
Right. But I will say one thing.
Go ahead, Gus.
All right. I will say one thing, and you can look at it and see the difference. Now, of course, we know the proliferation of crack in our neighborhoods in the 80s because I lived in murder capital D.C. for 17 years, man. It was terrible. It was really bad. But you can see the difference. Now, they're trying to push a narrative that everybody in the country that's strung out on opiates are getting prescription drugs. But isn't heroin and OxyContin all the same class of drug? So now, so that's what's making it a damn health issue now. And they're leaning it toward the health issue. But in the European community here, the heroin use is up maybe 200-300%. And people, especially up in New England, New Hampshire, Connecticut, where I'm from, and Massachusetts, in those little towns, New England towns up there, they're dying by the hundreds of heroin overdoses. So you tell me, what's the problem? Is it prescription drugs or is it the use of an illegal narcotic like heroin?
No, Gus, it's economics. It's economics.
Yeah.
See, the big myth is that, the drug situation is not a race situation, in my view. It's not. The people who are bringing these in, this is economics. It's making money. Okay? They don't care if it's white folks dying, black folks, Hispanics, Asians. They don't care. They inject it into neighborhoods where they want to gentrify those neighborhoods anyway. So let's get these people into for-profit prisons where we make money from them. And at the same time, we can go in and buy the land cheaper. It's always been that way. It was that way with alcohol. The only reason we're having a knee-jerk reaction, it's kind of off for terrorism, but we brought it up, so we'll go there. You know, the only reason that this country is having a knee-jerk reaction and panicking over the opioid addiction is because these judges and police chiefs and senators and congressmen and high-priced attorneys and doctors black and white, started going back to their rich suburban homes and finding Becky and Tony with a needle in their arm with that glazed over death look. That's the only reason. Because as long as they were putting poor people in jail for just simple possession, they didn't care. They were applauding the police. Go out and get more. Do your job. Great job. But when these rich folks started dropping dead, black and white, guess what? The whole game has changed. When's the last time you saw a celebrity, black or white, going to jail off of possession? They get sent to the Betty Ford Clinic. The brother that gets stopped with a little bit of weed, his ass is going to jail. The white guy that's stopped with a needle, he's going to jail. That's the hypocrisy.
Well, here's the hypocrisy. Think of this, brothers and sisters. I won't say who did it, but I will say this. The guy that gets caught with crack cocaine, a gram of crack cocaine, gets more time than the guy with an ounce of powder cocaine. Now, understand something.
Yeah.
You got to have powder to make crack.
Right.
Wait a minute. Listen to this. You got to have powder to make crack. Now, as we know, there's no coca plants, at this point anyway, in the United States. So the guys at import don't look like nobody in this room on this call. But the guy that gets caught with that powder who's the high-priced lawyer on Wall Street versus the guy in Harlem who's got five dime bags. So, again, just because they call it conspiracy don't mean it ain't.
Right.
Good point. Let me drop down these callers and stacking. I got one calling in from the 719 area code, 3613. Good morning. You're behind the blue curtain. Jump on in.
What you say, Stan? How you doing, brother? Jerry Kazmarek.
What's up, Jerry? Come on, man. Bring it.
Hey, man, if anything, good to have you back. But, I mean, if anything, you know what? And the gentleman, I can't remember. I didn't catch his name, but I'm taking a class right now, and I'm almost at the end with this semester with Introduction to Terrorism. And let me tell you something. Extremely interesting. extremely interesting stuff. And my point is this, is that, you know what, this is the biggest purveyor of violence in this country and around the world is this country. When you're talking about genocide and everything else. And I'll give you another example. And that's what I wanted to ask you too. And we'll kind of correlate with, you know, your trip. It's like I tell a lot of people, after living in Colorado for a decade and then coming back here, and I just recently watched the movie The Green Book about a month ago, and I'm sure you can relate to this. I said there are areas in Louisiana where I'm at that look no different than they did from pre-civil rights. And people think I'm nuts, but it's the truth. You know, I mean, the southern states have truly progressed. And then also one of the things that we have to look at is look at a lot of the policies that we passed over the years. You know, NAFTA, Violent Crime Control Law Enforcement Act by Biden, who originated it. The Clinton signed off on it. You know, 48% of the prisons are actually built in the South. I really believe that all of this stuff, unfortunately, is by design. You know?
What'd I say?
This is all by design.
Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, if anything, and then being down here in New Orleans, it's like I tell a lot of people, and they think I'm crazy. For the people that I know in Colorado, and I tell them, I'll say, man, I'm telling you, the South is 80 years behind time, and they think I'm nuts. I said, believe me, you come down here, and I'll give you a prime example, is that the death nail for New Orleans, and I decide, because I rarely drive around in a city if I don't have to, but you know what? I mean, really, New Orleans has become a city of the have and the have-nots, and gentrification to me is a form of urban terrorism.
Yes,
because,
absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, it's just the idea of not dealing with stuff. And the elected officials will not come to the table and talk about anything because you know what it is, and it's like I tell a lot of people, and it's very polarized in the South, and unless they start talking about something, this city is a powder keg waiting to blow because you got a lot of PO'd people here, and I don't blame them one bit, you know?
It's a lot.
So,
of
I mean
– a lot.
Oh, a lot of cities. You're absolutely correct.
That is
indeed the end game because here in Chicago, I don't know if the rest of this country has been watching, but we had the Jason Van Dyke trial. Had it gone any other way than the way that it did, and it still wasn't correct, this city was on the edge. We've had that. And guess what? If you look at the urban centers and you understand and define them as such, there is a move to make sure that people of color are not in those urban centers. It used to be that there's places in Chicago 40, 30 years ago, if you told me there was going to be a $500,000 house there, I'd have locked you up for dope. Now, guess what? I'm the dope because I didn't buy in those areas because they were re-gentrified. Now we're talking about my grandmother's house some years ago was less than $10,000, $20,000. It's now a $500,000, my grandmother's house. I mean, it's happening. The question becomes, what do we do? Now, the gentleman just talked about politics. The problem we have is that our people get co-opted so quickly, and then they're the number ones go to jail and wonder, like I told one guy, what, you think you started a new way to steal? You just because you got elected don't mean you can steal. Do your job.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give.
Hey, Jerry, your mic is still open because you know you're in the house, and I'm going to drop down and grab another caller real quick, 404 area code 5610. Good morning. You're on. How you feeling?
Good morning. I am everything, and everything is me.
Oh, what's up, big me? Up in the house. Hold on, man. I gotta give you some props right quick. Hey, you know, this little sidebar to the show. You know what, you guys? I'm going to let Big Meats tell y'all about him, but this brother said something that was so profound, that, you know, last week on Judge Joe Brown, on our Valerie show, and then yesterday on Judge Joe Brown show, we were talking about agendas, and they were talking about the LGBTQ community, which he's a member. And he said something, he said, you know, and the question was posed, is there an agenda in the LGBTQ community? And this brother just opened my eyes. He said, you have to understand in the community, there's a subdivision between blacks and the white agenda. And that floored me. That was off the chain. That was the bomb. So Big Meech, we gonna need American terrorists today, and I know you can chime in and fit in on this one. Come on.
Well, you know, here's the thing, because I am really starting to believe that to say the word terrorist is all a political agenda anyway. You have to remember, everything about us when it comes to wars and fighting and carrying on has always been fear-based. Everything has been, when we look at World War One and II and carrying on, it has always been, if we rile up the people and let them see that they're fearful or whatever, then they will be able to submit to whatever we say we're going to get ready to do. The idea of domestic terrorism has never been approached or has been dealt with, because that means that we have to take a look at ourselves as a country. And, you know, we keep saying we're the greatest, but see, we have to look at the flaws of America and actually deal with the flaws. Okay, America is a bully. It always has been, because how are you going over to somebody else's house attending what the hell to do in their house? You know, we have always been there. We've always been throwing weight around. And so now, when we get things happen to us and folks can get a lick in or whatever, then it becomes, oh, my God, we're under terrorist attack, when we always have been. The KKK has been the I think, America's greatest domestic terrorist group that we've never given that credit for. The gentleman was saying he think this is by design. Darling, has no choice to be by design. Well, you got the 13th Amendment that says that slavery has ended unless you are in prison. See, that's the problem. So unless you are imprisoned, then you are free. So what do? They sit down and create all these damn jails and carry it on to keep the children imprisoned. Why? So that they could get free labor, because if you paid attention, all of the jails and stuff are privatized. Everybody making money off of everything, except for the jailer in Canada. I mean, hell, when you put money on the people's book, the jailers end up taking it. I mean, listen, I have a friend of mine who's incarcerated now, okay, and still waiting to go to trial. And every time this child calls me, we put money on the books for the phone call, but it's a $3 connection fee plus the 18 cents a minute, okay? So you're taking the money, still trying to make your thing. And here's something that I found to be very, very interesting, and we have to look at this as a business because of what it is. Now, we all know Bob Barker from The Price is Right, and we think he's such a wonderful man from that game show. But I was floored, and I never known this because I've never been to prison, so I don't know. But I was so fucking floored when I found out that Bob Barker Industries is the one who supplies all of the soap, the house shoes, the clothes, and this, that, and the other. So he's an enterprise off of prisoners.
Wow.
And has been since 1972.
Yep. Wow.
You know what? Check this out, mate. While you're talking about prisons, check this out. When it was the law that employers had to provide health insurance for all their employees, you had people in prisons making telemarketing calls on behalf of industries, and those for 50, 75 cents an hour, those industries were not required to pay any health insurance, put anything on their books, okay? Now, these people are not allowed to vote when they get out.
Right.
But when they get out and get a job at Burger King, they got to pay taxes.
Well, they got to pay taxes. How about that?
That's taxation without representation. Isn't that how the country got off the chain in the first place?
How about that? Okay. So when we look at these kinds of issues, we have no choice but to know that this is some kind of a structure. It's systematic and carrying on. And as I always refer to the onion, you know, it's so many layers to this because it gets so complex. Because of the layers and the different nuances. So now we are at the age to where, you know, the tagline is get in where you fit in. And so everybody now is trying to get in where they fit in. The gentleman just said, well, you know, find a new way of trying to steal. Well, hell, that's what politics has become. How I can sit down there, I want to make it better for my people. Most folks go in with the best of intentions. the best of intentions because they want to make change. But the system is so corrupt itself to where by the time they get up there to make the change, then you got the checks and balances up in there that tell them, no, you can't do that because if you do that, then this is going to happen. And then this is political suicide and this is this. So now it's all about power. Okay, I'm trying to gain my power and have my power structure. So in order for me to keep my status and this, that, and the other, then I got to, quote, unquote, play the game. Then playing the game becomes a whole new definition of the have and the have-nots, because it's the have-nots that always don't have a voice. And if they don't have a voice, then nothing gets done on their behalf, because the have will sit down there and say, oh, you know, I do this, I do that. All I have to do is write a check for the mayor's ball. Or I have to do is write a check for the fireman's baseball league or whatever. And if I write a big enough check, this will get pushed up under the rug, and then we have all of this. So now we talk about domestic terrorism because of the violence and carrying on. Yes, that's perpetuated because in suburban neighborhoods, we don't hear about their domestic terrorism and their gangs and carrying on because Caucasians keep that shit under wraps. They keep it under wraps until it becomes a problem. And how does it become a problem? Because then they come down here. The Caucasians will come down here, buy their drugs and stuff from here to take them back there. We ain't never marched out there and took the drugs out there unless you big time. And those are the children, honey, who got the real corn that they're not going after. They always come down here to little peons because they know the peons, you know, trying to be pimps, ballers, shot callers, and ain't never had nothing. So they said they're swinging all this money around thinking they lie. They got the guns and things. And so their presentation gives them away. It's not organized crime because organized crime, but they don't nobody know their business but whoever in it. So you get these little peons who do all this. So they're the ones who are the fall guys so that they can keep putting them in the prisons so that they can sit down there and still have the workforce that's needed to get everything else done. Yes, Sister Manning.
And make money off of supplying products to the prison by the stock market and awarding contracts. But until we get past this thing of white folks voting for white folks because they're white and black folks voting for black folks because they're black, we need to keep one of us in there. That's some bullshit. We need the right person in there. And I don't care if they're one-legged, gay, straight, Christian, Muslim, Jew. It doesn't matter. We got to get out of this class warfare, this Republican-Democrat. This is how this whole thing works. You got some of these white domestic terrorists are afraid, and some of them are just at their wit's end. We can look. Let's look at West Virginia. And if you're listening from West Virginia, I'm not saying this to beat up your state because it's a big coal state, and I know things have changed there. But that is almost an entirely white state of poverty, homelessness, helplessness, and full of good people that want to work. Their conditions just are what they are. What is going to happen when these people snap? They're not taken care of. They are a perfect breeding ground for these white supremacist and hate groups to come in and recruit. They're a perfect breeding ground, just like the inner cities where you have black kids who can't go to the school without walking over bodies and stepping through gang warfare and drug battles and all this other nonsense. How do you think the gang members recruit them? You've
exactly.
Seen this crap long enough. It's easy to be picked up on. And I'm glad that Joe brought it up because, you know what, white supremacists are a problem. We all know they are. And like I said, this is not a beat-up white people show. You know what, let's talk about the Latin Kings. Let's talk about the Blood. Let's talk about the Crips.
Look, before you even talk about them, let's talk about the original, some of the originators coming out of Chicago. You're talking about Larry Hoover and Jeff Fort. Now, there's a couple of books written about Jeff Fort. And I met Jeff, and I actually know Mr. Larry Hoover. And I'll tell you something. If Jeff Fort had gotten an education, he'd be a Fortune 500 member. Here's a guy, and let me just take a sidebar for a second. Most people know, I don't know if most of you have seen Warriors. Warriors was actually banned in Chicago when it first came out. And here's the reason why. The mayor at the time, who was Old Man Daley, was afraid that Jeff Fort was going to mimic this. And let me give you a little quick history. Originally, the Blackstone Rangers, then they morphed in this thing called the Main 21. Well, the main 21, as it turned out, Jeff Fort went around to these other little neighborhoods, got 21 of the leaders from the smaller gang, and then became a super gang called the Black Stone Rangers. From that move, you had the GDs, the Gangster Disciples, you had Latin Kings and the Maniac Disciples that broke off from this thing called the Black Stone Rangers. So as far as organization ability goes, this guy was a genius. But because he didn't have the genius to surround himself with some type of education, he now becomes the kingpin. He's in jail. But look at all the mafia dons that came out of New York. They're living good. They've done everything. Their people have flourished. But what they had to do under Larry Hoover was they had to make sure that blacks didn't get into this thing called organized crime. And that's how you get that thing rolling.
Sure. I mean, you can go back to New York to Bumpy Johnson. You can go to Nicky Barnes, you know, Frank Lucas. You can go all the way back. And that is where the corruption is hemmed into the fabric of America. That is this thing we call America. It's the underpinning. It's the backside of the Constitution that nobody ever wants to read. See, the Constitution in principle is good. The application is twisted by the applier.
Correct.
It's twisted.
Correct.
And then folks want to get mad when you call this mess out. You know, America's in trouble.
Oh, I think. Can I throw in something real quick, Stan?
Come on, Jared.
No, I mean, if anything, you're absolutely correct. And piggybacking on what you just said, I think your biggest gang is on Wall Street and being protected by the ones in D.C. I mean, think about it. The 08 housing collapse, not one executive went to jail.
Right.
But a guy, like you were saying, in a poor neighborhood, black guy, let's say, gets popped with a couple joints or a blunt in his pocket, boom, he's going to do 10 years. However, the ones on Wall Street, what did they do? They collapsed the economy, everything else, with the stroke of a pen, and nobody goes to jail. And it's like I tell a lot of people. I was actually watching a lecture by Glenn Greenwald and Noam Chomsky. And, I mean, if anything, it's the truth, the two-tier system of justice. You know, I mean, it's either if you have money, you can be rich and guilty and walk, or if you're poor and uneducated, you're going to get launched. So, I mean, like you were saying, I mean, whenever I hear that thing about, you know, justice, I mean, to me, what justice? I mean, the real criminals, in my opinion, are not in jail.
See, you're exactly right.
Well, they can't go to jail. They're too busy making law.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Bingo.
They're keeping us fighting over religious differences, moral differences, sexual differences, color, economic differences, which is all semantical bullshit. And that's, I made the even $20 right now for the Curtis job, but it's okay. Just got paid. The time that came in, I can do it. But you know what? And see, this is the conversation. This is the conversation. I love this because right here, this is real. Everybody's saying how they feel, agree, disagree, and we're talking about it. And you know what? These trolls and these rich folks, they're listening. These white supremacists, they're listening. The angry, uneducated black militants who just want to scream just to scream, they're listening. But guess who else is listening? The poor folks who are saying, when is it my turn to get the mic? When can I have something to say? I'm in this back alley with an Obama phone and a Wi-Fi connection. What's that brother's number? Call up here, 646-716-4621. Press 1. You have the floor. You can get in on this. TKD, talk to me, brother. What's going on?
Oh, man. Great. You know, I'm gonna come from another, I guess you say, another angle.
Come on, brother.
And with the angle I'm gonna come from is, Gus spoke about it earlier about the definition to some degree of what terror is, and in my research and study, I find that we have a very vague and very limited perception of really what terrorism is. And based on what they have given us, that's why we get caught off guard so many times, because it's like fighting the enemy that you can't see. And what I mean by that is terrorism, from the root word terror, by all accounts, is anything that's going to invoke extreme fear whether it's a person, place, or thing. It's also considered a troublesome person or a thing. Boy, do we have enough of that in this country, as you said, on the domestic side. And it's the use of organized intimidation. That's also a form of what we know as terror or terrorism. So when you look at, yes, I'll say that again, the use of organized intimidation is also organized.
Right.
So when Stan, my brother from New Orleans, talks about, the biggest criminals, we'll just leave it right there, okay? And you deal with these hate crimes. A terrorist is a person that one who favors. I mean, they're really trying to invoke this. They want to invoke the intimidation and the fear. And whether they're using methods by trying to coerce a government or even seize a community, like Stan was also saying about gentrification and all that, I think we better not get caught off guard with this blanket statement of thinking a terrorist is somebody from the Middle East with a towel on his head. That's definitely not it. America was founded on terrorism, domestic terrorism, by the fact. Okay, when we talk about how it was originally founded, and I know a lot of us, are old enough to know about the cowboys and Indians, and they made the Indians look like they was the savages, but all they was doing was trying to protect and preserve which was rightfully theirs by invaders who came along aboard. But they got caught up in that. And then, gun smoke came and everything else. So, I mean, they have always been so great at being masterful at controlling the narrative of how we think, which is another form of terrorism. Because when you think about racism and prejudice and discrimination, when you look at those words, look at them, you'll see the word crime is in the word discrimination. It's actually a crime nation. When you break it, they took out the E, but you know anything about vowels. Sometimes it's E, sometimes it's I. They put discrimination. So it's like a crime nation. And these are all sicknesses, and these are all illnesses. These are all dis-ease, and it makes us at dis-ease and constantly spreading disease, whether they're the hate groups of neo-Nazism, KKK, whether it's the urban guerrilla warfare of gangs. These are all forms of terrorism that are right here in the almighty U.S. of A. And see, we got this thing today that is really expounding and expanding and increasing it in its reach. It's called social media. So now we don't have to just worry about what somebody's going to say. We got to be concerned with what somebody's going to post, what somebody's going to type. And because it's protected by what they call the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, whether it's hateful, condescending, inflammatory, nasty, whatever, to some degree, you got to let people say what they feel, which I'm all right with that, because I like to know where you stand with me than to play the fox.
Amen.
With the chicken hand. I'd rather know who the wolf is. So let the wolf show who the wolf is, so I don't have no problem with that. But we should come to understanding that these are all forms of mental health disorders. These are all things that lead us to sociopaths. Why? Because we're becoming more and more adept to using electronic devices instead of chopping it up with each other, instead of having interaction with human against human. We're typing, we're texting. You know what I mean? We're not talking to each other anymore. We're all in our phones, which lead to higher forms of domestic violence and domestic abuse, sexual abuse, human trafficking, harvesting of human organs. Yes, organized crime. And anything that's organized that's criminal is organized crime. I'll say that again. Anything that's organized and criminal, it's organized crime. Okay? Tribal war. So let's expand our knowledge and our insight on what is domestic terrorism. I'm going to end with this point for now because I know we got other callers. Do you know that one of the ancient names of the planet Earth was called Terra? I don't know if y'all know that or not, but it was.
Terra Firma.
It was called Terra. And this is where they grafted the word terrain. They got the word terrestrial from. They also used the word, all-terrain vehicles. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? They're talking about the Earth, but it's so funny because that in itself is a contradiction, because over 71% of the Earth is covered by water. So that lets you know right there if somebody's mixed up. It was also called the Blue Rock. Point I'm getting at, we're in an environment. We have all this energy around us, and we're using all these electronic devices. There are electromagnetic fields all around us, all with these cell phones. They tell you, they warn you about putting them up to your head because there are electromagnetic waves, and everything is not healthy. How much is that affecting the cross signals of all this Wi-Fi, this wireless fidelity that's going on, all these electrical signals being crossed all over the grid of the planet, and everybody can't handle it? Have you ever been in a room where TVs are on different channels? I'm using this as a metaphor.
That's a good point.
Ever been in a place where everybody with different channels? That shit will drive you crazy, man, if you don't get out of there, if you're sane, because you got all these different signals. So now you got all these negative emotions, people spilling out on social media again, and it's bringing on more of a lack of emotion. People are becoming more and more desensitized because of these electronics, and we're becoming less humanized, and we're doing now more inhumane to each other because the reaction of overabundance of this is not healthy to the mind. It's not healthy to the heart. It's not healthy to our souls. So the root cause, you got to see what they're doing. They're manipulating energy frequencies. And the grid of the earth has such a negative current now going, we have to now work. But we got to be mindful of that energy. And we understand that. And we all got that intuition, man. Something don't feel good. That don't sound right. That don't. And then people admit, what you bugging for? As the brother said earlier, it's a conspiracy. Yeah, it's against the spirit. Conspiracy. We learn some more about language, we'll understand, because see, words carry weight. Words carry power. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Power in life and death is also now on that keyboard, and people are not paying more attention. How many times have these mass shootings happened, and they've had these manifestos, or they have these social media sites, and they've already typed how they feel, but we're not paying attention. Those are dangerous because people read those and then they absorb that into them. So not only do we got to be careful what people – and we all, most of us on this phone, I would say, we grew up saying you watch your mouth. Now we better watch what you type, watch what you post, watch the video, because that has an effect on other people. Everybody's not wired right, man. And some people got wires that are constantly getting crossed up. Some are shorted out. And, yes, we got some that are straight up burnt out. So we got dirty bombs being dropped at all type of levels, and that biochemical warfare is real, y'all, from the foods to the toxicity of all these prescription drugs to the GMOs, lead paint. And Dick Gregory, bless his sacred strong soldier soul, spoke about a substance called manganese. I want y'all to look that up in your time.
Manganese.
And they
do
it. Manganese, and they are spraying it in certain communities. You wonder why people are acting out, going up. This is not a conspiracy. It's a reality. And we got to take our heads out of the sand and look it right in its face and don't fear it, but face up to it and then do something about it. Too many people have their heads stuck in the sand. They're just making that up. No, this is going on all around the earth. And because of the social media, which now is global, now you can affect people worldwide with something you post, worldwide with something you write.
People
fail to realize that because they maybe only have, and I'm not saying everybody has their pages, what they call, what do you call it, Stan? It's public. Everybody has a public page, but I take a person like myself, and I'm trying to get rid of people all the time, and I'm deleting, and I got to hear more people come, but anybody know my page? It's all it's all about education, because I know we got to be better educated to learn how to play this thing in life called chess and stop playing checkers. As long as we keep playing checkers, we'll never win. We'll never figure it out. We'll always get we'll get checked in three moves, boom, 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 and then we'll be sitting there wondering what the hell happened. Learn the game. And the five principles, if you want to know, it's not that complex. It's five P's. They've been using it since the time of ancient Babylon. It's called the five P's. It's politics, polytheism, psychology, philosophy, and penal systems. It's the P's, the five P's. That is your five-pointed star, and that's what they use. And anytime you get trapped up in there, You in Charlotte's Web. You in the Matrix. You better learn about it so you don't get caught up in it. So those are all by design. Absolutely right. Diabolically designed to control masses of people to make money. Thank y'all.
All right.
I'm going to play a quick clip, and then we're going to do the barbershop session. We're going everybody hold, don't nobody hang up, because if you was in the conversation, we're going all the way down, and everybody's going to get 3 minutes to talk about anything they want to vent, to go off. Everybody's going to get 3 minutes. We're going to play this clip, and then we're going to come back and do the barbershop.
When it comes to racially motivated hate crimes, Black Americans are overwhelmingly targeted. They make up 66% of the victims of racially motivated hate crimes since 1995. A recent report by the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University San Bernardino shows that anti-Black hate crimes were among the most common of any in at least 5 of the 10 largest U.S. cities in 2017. And when it comes to extremist ideologies, there have been incidents of attacks inspired by the so-called Islamic State. For example, the mass shootings at Pulse Nightclub in 2016 and at San Bernardino Health Center in 2015. But statistically, white American men in the U.S. pose a bigger threat than foreigners committing acts of extremism. But you might not know that based on some of the coverage and political rhetoric surrounding extremism.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
I think Islam hates us.
I want surveillance of certain mosques, okay?
Journalists have also been complicit in the narrative that often paints white perpetrators as quiet or lone wolves, rather than labeling them as terrorists, as they're often quicker to do with non-white perpetrators. Extremist attacks committed by those who are Muslim receive, on average, 357% more U.S. press coverage than those committed by non-Muslims, according to a recent university study.
If all the domestic terrorists who are white males were covered as heavily and connected together in one story, we would have a different image that would come to our mind.
In fact, Muslims and Jews are among the most frequent religious targets of white supremacist violence. Muslims comprise 24% and Jews 54% of victims of religiously motivated hate crimes, according to the FBI's most recent data.
You know, in people's minds, they don't really put together that this is a pattern of violent activity connected to one ideology, basically white supremacy, in the same way that they do when they think about extremist Muslim violence.
But when it comes to actually being charged with terrorism, recent data from an investigative nonprofit, the Nation Institute, shows that when terrorist incidents result in arrest, Muslim perpetrators are far more likely to be charged than far-right perpetrators. A very small number of white supremacist cases do result in terrorism charges. But what about the Oklahoma City bomber? What about the Parkland school shooter? Indeed, all of these people had a well-documented history of racist, homophobic, or anti-Semitic views.
There is a very, very narrow range under the law that applies to domestic terrorism where someone can actually be charged for terroristic offenses. It usually involves things like, did they use a weapon of mass destruction? So you could have a person committing an act of terrorism internationally that is exactly the same as someone doing it domestically, and you're going to get two completely different sets of charges.
Though there are varying definitions, under the federal U.S. Criminal Code, domestic terrorism is defined as, quote, acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state, intended to intimidate the population and influence the government. Byrick says domestic terrorism legislation tends to be stronger at the state level than federal. While some politicians have called on the government to pass a domestic terrorism statute, other people say that would be federal overreach. It's also important to note that different groups have different standards for tracking extremist violence. But no matter which way you look at it, data overwhelmingly show that white men are committing more acts of violent extremism in the U.S. than any other group. And it's on the rise.
All right. Well, hello. There it is. Folks can get twisty, get bent out of shape. Don't get mad at me. You know, and I know I get the haters and procrastinators, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're mad at me and you're mad at this show today and you can't take it, And you just seem like it's all, I'm angry and I'm anti-white. You know what? Tupac said something. He said, everybody comes down on me for rapping about the news. But nobody ever wants to go back and complain about the person that's making the news that I'm talking about. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to keep it real. We're in the barbershop phase now. So we're going to go all the way down. I'm just going to go down this screen up here, and we're going to give everybody's going to get 3 minutes. Anything you want to talk about, it doesn't have to be on this. You can vent, let it out, say how you feel. And we're going to start out with, let's see, the 719 area code. Come on, 3613.
Yes, so as always, I appreciate it. Love the show. And, you know, one of the things that you brought up also, I mean, it was so many great topics that we talked about. Stan, one of the things that people need to start looking into also, and you brought it up in regards to the Constitution, but one of the things that really bothers me today is that, you know what, there really is no separation of church and state. And one of the things that everybody needs to look up is look up dominionism, which is that you've got a lot of people in government today who actually want the Bible to govern government, which is extremely scary. And the other thing, too, is that, you know what, there was a quote in my book that I've been reading for the semester with Intro to Terrorism in regards to, you know, arms deals that we're doing with Saudi Arabia and other countries. But I tell you know what, I mean, this really put it to a T. And the quote was, is that when it comes to money, everyone is of the same religion. And unfortunately, I mean, on all levels now, it's corrupt. You know, from a municipal, state, national level, and it's just really out of control. But the good thing is that it's being exposed, and I'm hoping that maybe in your closing, I wanted to get your opinion. I just think it's going to get worse, and I wanted to get your opinion on where you think it's headed, because I think eventually it's just going to collapse. I give it another 10 years. And unfortunately, I mean, if anything, you know what? This has opened a lot of eyes, and there's a lot of things that we need to deal with head on. And as always, I appreciate everybody, appreciate your show, and thank you so much, sir.
Oh, brother, you know you're the man. Appreciate you being here, man. Make sure you hold on to the end, because, you know, like you, everybody, you know, the last in the comments, I love it. It gives me good show ideas. I like to let people vent, say what they want to say. And once again, if you're in a back alley somewhere just listening on a Wi-Fi, 646-716-6461, press 1. We'll get you on. 972, I think that's Robert. I don't know if you wanted to jump in here for 3 minutes. I didn't see you press 1. Do you want to get in?
Of course I do, Stan. How's everyone doing?
Hey, what's going on, Big Bobby?
Very well.
Come on with it, man.
Yeah, I've been listening, man, and you guys are making some very good points. But the main thing is this. I heard Tyrone use the word diabolical, and I want to key in on that word diabolical. We have to understand that we cannot fight against any diabolical individual, group, or even a diabolical conspiracy by governments that are put in place in a non-diabolical way. So if we're not willing to be just as diabolical in our mission as they are in their mission, and we're going to lose. You can't come to fight against an immoral individual, group, or institution with morals. You're not going to meet your goal. The next thing is this. When it comes to people being radical, we have to learn to stand behind radical people that are trying to facilitate radical change when they're alive. Not after they're dead. See, what we do is because people talked about terrorism and they connected it to this word called fear. We will stand behind a radical individual in private, but when it comes to public time, we start compromising. Right?
Yep.
So this is a case in point that I want to make. Somebody said something about checks and balances. We've been told historically that this government institution that we has checks and balances. And they have publicly shown us that not to be true with this collusion case with Donald Trump. And they use the word collusion versus the word conspiracy. And I'm going to tell you why that's important. A conspiracy, we think that's a bad word. Somebody mentioned that earlier in the show. But it is a secret plan by a group to do something unlawful or harmful, right? That means they sit there together and they conspire with an agenda to carry out that agenda. So in this case with Donald Trump, somebody said something about Lil Pookie killing people in the inner city. They charge him with conspiracy in his organization, whether it's a gang or whether it's just three or four people. They don't charge him with collusion. Collusion is hard to prove. Conspiracy in the FBI, when you charge with it, is not hard to prove. One guilty, everybody guilty, right? So we need to look at those things. Now, when we add that last word, theory, that's where people kind of get off track, because that means it's a theory. But what are the results? Is the results proving that these things are factual? Then we need to run with that, right? So we need to decide if we really want to make change. And if we really want to make change, a lot of your morals that are built into your character, you're going to have to sit those aside. Mm-hmm. And if you're not willing to sit those aside, you're not willing to win. And you have to understand that there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. And right now, these diabolical folks are winning because they understand our weakness and our morals and our character. And they use that to their advantage. And that's what I want to put on the record today.
All right, Big Bobby, appreciate you, brother. Robert Drake. Robert is he's the managing director of Solid Words Unleashed over there, where my co-host, Tyrone K. Dunmore, also does. So, Rob, tell them where they can find out about your show when you're on, so we can get them viewers over there.
Yeah, you can Google Silent Words Unleashed. It'll pop up attached to Blog Talk. You go in and click on that. You can catch some of our shows that have already been cataloged. If you want to listen to us live, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time every Sunday night, we're on. Myself, Tyrone K. Dunmore, Travis Evans, Stan is usually there. And anyone that's listening to this show, we would like for you to come in and join the conversation, because we do have to have these conversations that are hard. We have to talk about them with the mindset that we're thinking about it, talking about it, to change it.
All right, brother. Appreciate you. I see Travis is in here. Big Travis, you want to jump on here? 3 minutes?
First of all, good afternoon, everybody. No, not really. 3 minutes is not enough time for me to vent on what I want to vent on about this. So I don't have enough time. So I'll defer and we'll catch you guys next week.
Are you sure, man? I can give you four. I'll give you 30 times two.
30 times. It's just, I heard a lot of interesting things. I just really feel like I'm going to try to sum it up. But what I'll probably do is wind up doing it on Robert's show tomorrow night, or I'll probably put it on my show tomorrow night. I mean, Monday night. But
hey,
I saw something
show,
today.
Travis.
Huh?
Make sure you put out your show. Put your show info out.
Oh, I'm sorry. My show is called A Point with Travis G. Evans and Robert Douglas Drake III. It airs on Monday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk. So it's also on Facebook Live. Me and Robert, we go on Facebook Live. But like I said, I just wanted to kind of say something. It probably won't take a minute, but I wanted to expound on it. I'm not going to do that. Today, I went to the barbershop to get a haircut. And in the shopping center where my barbershop is, there's a Mexican restaurant. And this is one of the things that's been going on for years with me, and I kind of wanted to touch on this. I looked outside the Mexican restaurant. They're getting it ready for Cinco de Mayo, an event that has nothing to do with the United States. Didn't even happen in the United States. I mean, I'm going to elaborate a little bit on Cinco de Mayo on Robert's show or either mine. But this guy was out there selling sombreros for $10. So I'm sitting in the barber chair, and this lady walks in with her two boys, and she bought two sombreros. The problem I got with that is, it seems to me in our community, just with black people alone, we can further everybody's agenda except our own. Cinco de Mayo this weekend, we're going to spend hundreds of thousands, if millions of dollars. We're going to spend hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars this weekend helping Mexico further their agenda. But I guarantee you, you do something for Juneteenth, for the Juneteenth shirt, I bet you won't find one Latino walking around with a Juneteenth shirt on. but we go spend money with them. We buy paraphernalia, drinks, everything else, and we just keep their businesses flourishing. My question is, what the hell is wrong with us? I'm going to leave it at that, fellas, and hopefully we'll have some answers tomorrow night on Robert's show or my show Monday night. Thanks.
All right, Trav. Appreciate you, brother. Now I'm going to drop down Big Meat. Boy, I tell you what, having you come in here today, that was a surprise. That was a surprise. Val got you all the info. Come on, 3 minutes. Anything you want to talk about, because I know you can light it up.
Well, the brother just lit something up that has me into a whole new spin on some stuff, because I have been trying to put together a Kwanzaa in June. You know how they got Christmas in July? Well, I've been wanting to do a Kwanzaa in June kind of thing around the Juneteenth celebration, because I want us to get reconnected to the principles of Kwanzaa. June is halfway through the year, so, you know, we want to get reconnected. But the brother just said something that was so profound about furthering everyone else's culture. And I love the Mexican culture and carrying on. I love Latino culture or whatever. It's very colorful. It's vibrant. And we are basically cousins to one another. At the same time, we don't sit down and we don't act like family to one another because, you know, of our divide, of our divisiveness and carrying on through the systems and all of that. But he just set me on fire with that. And I got to hear what he got to say tomorrow and Monday. But let me go here. Because as we're talking about international and domestic terrorism, I'm going to go on the record and say this, and you're probably not going to never hear another gay person say this, that the LGBT community is becoming a domestic terrorist organization. Simply because, yes, I said it, simply because we have gotten to the point now, as I constantly say, our Caucasian counterparts who are the face of the movement, and that's because of political reasons and stuff, we have gotten to the point where we are now politicizing everything. And as I said, we are in a point where no one can have an opinion anymore without it becoming labeled as hate speech or this, that, and the other. Traditional folks, you know, are up in arms. You know, they're fighting for Christian rights and laws and this, that, and the other, which is, they're already protected. But what is happening is, they're fighting for stuff that's becoming even more discriminatory, and it's becoming a big catch-22. So because of these particular fights and battles, the LGBT community is becoming more of a domestic terrorist group, not by violence, but through their actions of wanting to lobby, create laws. The judge was saying that he said a word that I'm still not buying just yet, about heterophobia. And I see where he is, but I'm not necessarily buying it just yet, not yet. However, he may be onto something as far as the communities not sitting together and wanting folks to be who they are. And we can all just live and be a lot of what we're calling terrorist acts or domestic terrorism. If Ku Klux Klan members would let blacks and Jews and everybody be who the hell they are, they wouldn't be out there burning crosses or doing the dastardly things that they do. If everybody would sit down and allow people to live, especially if you're claiming to be a Christian nation, how is it that a Christian nation that's supposed to follow Christian values and carry it on are the most terroristic, they are the most violent, they are the most anti-love in the history of everything? All these wars and stuff are based on folks' beliefs in God and carrying on, which is all subjective. And we don't want to celebrate each other's differences. The LGBT community, I said this the other day, we're the only class of people that say celebrate diversity, but yet we got so much internal fighting and carrying on, so we don't even know how to live and coexist with one another. And the statement becomes oxymoronic. The flag, the rainbow flag, doesn't mean gay. It means diversity. It means everybody is different. There's someone and room at the table for everyone. If you include me at the table, baby, that's because I got a buffet out here. You know, when you go to Old Country Buffet, you know, when you go there, there's something out there for everybody, right? And if you don't like it, wait a minute, they're going to bring something out from the back, okay, to make sure everybody is accommodated. And that should be what life is. However, we done got used to the fried chicken and the macaroni and cheese, and that's where we go stay at. You don't want to venture over to the salmon or the orange roughy or whatever because you're scared of it. And we do not allow that. But at the same time, it's at the table. So in order to celebrate diversity, that there we have to understand what that is, grab the concept, apply it. And once we start applying these principles and concepts, then I believe that will start to change the mindset of the way the world sees it. But if we stay in our little blocks, if we stay in our areas, if we are afraid to venture out and only use social media to do it because you've got computer courage, then we're going to have what we have.
Big Mitch, what's the contact info? Where can people find you, follow you, and hear what you're saying? Because you got a lot of good things going on.
I'm on Blog Talk here every Wednesday at 1 o'clock with Dishing Tea with Big Meat. You can catch me there. Go to my website. You can find out everything about me at dishingtea.com. www.dishingtea.com, baby.
All right, give me the slogan one time. What's your slogan?
Which one? I got several of them. I am not, everything not, and everything is me.
That's it. All right. Hey, we appreciate you, brother. Thanks for calling in. And I'm going to hook you up and then get on your show because I want to come in there and listen because you got some hot topics that you talk about. All right. We go to the All Big right. 804, Big Gus. Come on, Big Gus. Bring it.
All right. First of all, I say what a great show today. And my brother Tyrone, you ought to teach some classes, bro, when you get the time. I know you're a busy man. Very insightful. I want to know, Stan, the correlation between urban gang warfare and urban terrorism and suburban terrorism, and what's the reasoning behind this increase in the alt-right and white nationalists. You know, and how does it have to do with, you know, with terrorism? I think one of the reasons is not most of your southern states, but all of the states, the poorest states in the United States are led by Republican governors, if you believe it or not, are led by Republican governors, and they have Republican legislative bodies. So I'm wondering if there's a correlation between poverty and the alt-right, or is it that they see that the world is changing and their demographic is changing rapidly, and that's why they're really trying to keep Mexicans out and trying to build a wall because they're trying to keep their base and their power and strong. But with that said, I want to say all the speakers were great, especially my brother TKD, and everyone have a wonderful afternoon.
All right, brothers. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. All right, I got to go back up to Shy. Big Joe, what's up? Come on, man, wrap it up. Tell us some terrorism today. Wrap this up.
Well, it's interesting. The I would be more than willing to explain the correlation between domestic, urban, and suburban if we had the time. But I will say this. It's interesting because you have a president who said, I'm a nationalist. Now, when I said this in class, I asked my black students and the white students, what does it mean? Well, the first thing out of the black student's mouth universally was, I'm a white nationalist. To the white students, what does it mean to be a nationalist? I said, well, if you look at history, a national socialist republic was Nazi Germany. So for what it means to you is totally different than what it means to us. And until you understand that, you won't go anywhere. But it's also interesting to note that the last caller said exactly right. The poorest states are still in the hands of the Republicans. Now, here you have, I saw a commercial, not a commercial, but an infomercial, where one guy was saying, yeah, I'm voting against the affordable health care. I'm voting against Obamacare. Well, how do you think you're going to get your teeth fixed, fool? because it's so easy to vilify, you know, and that's what, and understand this, it's easier. And you got to, you know, those who forget history are definitely doomed to repeat it. Hitler took and vilified a particular group of people, made them the scourge of the earth. Nobody wanted these people called the Jews. Well, guess what? African Americans are the Jews because we're much like, and understand this when I say this, people. If you look at a rose and understand, a red rose is not natural in nature. It's a hybrid. We are hybrids, and we don't treat ourselves like that. And if you learn that you're a hybrid, you'll treat yourself like that and understand that it ain't just poop that makes you grow. You grow because nobody else can grow that. There's no other place that you can grow a red rose. It's a hybrid. You can grow a white one, but red ones are hybrids. They're the top of the line. And we don't treat ourselves like the roses that we are. But more importantly, until we understand our history, and all these speakers were correct, we need to come together at one point and set us up a forum and go at it. Because a lot of people need to hear exactly what's being said today. And I'm done.
Yep. All right, brother. Man, look out now. Boy, I tell you what, last week I was missing y'all bad. I come back and we'd have made up for it today. TKD, come on, brother. 3 minutes, man.
Yeah, just so people do not get I don't want nobody scared. When my brother says we got to become radical, but again, when you learn languages and you see the roots, words, etymology, anybody understands with that, you see all languages and dialects are connected. You just got to see how they connect. And what I'm using that by is because when you talk about even these constitutions, again, they have a ratify it. It got ratified. It's radical. You know, somebody who's called, as brother said, it seemed to be more violent or whatever, or more passionate, like we're always accused, many times accused of. Why you sound so angry? Because he sounds militant. But at the same time, we salute the military, you know, and they need to be saluted. People who served and will put their life on the line to, you know, for this country, absolutely our soldiers. So when you become a soldier in the troop, you know, it's the same, let's say, essence. You know, somebody that's willing to die, so to speak, for what they not just believe in, but what they know. And yes, we got to be revolutionaries. We got to revolve. And I ain't talking about counterclockwise, because that's hustling backwards. We got to revolve forward. We got to spin like the earth. You know what I mean? We got to spin in the right direction, and that means going forward. So remember, as you say with the word troll, and it's funny, you know, I looked at that up as well as in Greek, and it's funny with how it is pronounced. It's tromak. Listen now, tromakratia. Tromakratia. That is how the Greek word for terrorist, a terror, in Latin is virorum. Sicarium. Viral. It goes viral. It's a virus. Even in Hebrew, I got a laugh at this one. I looked it up. What is terrorist even in Hebrew? Because I'm saying all these things are connected. It's called titlis. Phonetically sounding like titlis. Right? So, you know, and what is that? That's the guts. That's the intestines. That's the, as Brother Malcolm would say, gut eaters. And we still, unfortunately, got a whole lot of gut eaters still running around here. But I'm going to end on this. Don't get caught up in the hype. You know, don't get caught up in this thing of Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq. I tell you right now, Afghanistan is our friend. We can't have surgery without Afghanistan. Go look up Afghanistan, and they produce over 90% of the world supply of opium poppy, which is the root of all opiates. You ain't going to have no anesthesia without opium. And who produces it? Like I heard a brother say earlier about these drugs coming in. So they are allies to us getting surgery. They need Afghanistan. They need Mexico. You see what happened when he started talking about closing the wall on Mexico? You see everybody take some time and look up with the products that we get from Mexico. America produces very little products. We import so many products from all over the world because it's a global economy, right? So remember that. And I'm closing just by saying, get better educated. Don't fall for the okie doke. Don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. You know, do your own international. Do your own internal. Do your own area. When I mean area, in your own community, look up. You know, find out who's who and what's what on the planet Earth before you let somebody just give you a snapshot soundbite of what they want you to believe is here going on in the planet Earth. And then we'll be better qualified to be able to fight and resist against what they're trying to do to us. And that's to turn us inside out. And I mean that literally. Because terrorism has more layers than just physical terror. They are emotionally terrorizing us. They are spiritually terrorizing us. They are physically because I already talked about physically. They are what else? They are financially terrorizing people. And they're creating fear. And that fear creates an abundance of stress. And that stress leads to a whole lot of other, not just mental health problems, but also physical health problems.
Right.
So we got to get in tune with what's real and give them back their fantasy. And I ain't talking about just the island. Thank you, Dan.
All right. Well, you know what? This has been a great show. To the Facebook Live crew, once again, I'm not ignoring you guys. I just got a black screen up over. I know it's recording, but I'm unable to see y'all, so I can't really respond, and I hate that, but I'll have that fixed. This has been a great show. Everybody that's been here, from retired Detective Mosley up there in Chicago, Big Gus, Big Meat showing up in the house, Jerry calling in, TKD, Robert. I mean, it's been great. Big Travis, you know, I appreciate everybody. You know, the only thing I'm going to end with and say this to the leaders, the people who consider themselves leaders or working towards solutions, when you have an opportunity to stand before people of power and position who are in a position to affect change to the concerns of the least of your community, stop dressing the issue up and making a palatable presentation that is detrimental to solving the problems that are plaguing not just the neighborhood but this country. The people in positions of privilege and power need to understand that sometimes it's a shit burger. That's what the situation is, and they need to see it that way. Stop making it smell good for them, because when you do that, you take your sense of emergency and you present it as an inconvenience. So somebody else's emergency is going to get handled. Just bring it to them like it is. In fact, instead of going to their office to talk about it, invite them to the problem. Because until you do that, nothing in here will change, and we're going to get ready for the show next week, and I appreciate everybody.
Oh, I say it, again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok.
Thank you for tuning in to Behind the Blue Curtain. You can follow Stan Mason and Behind the Blue Curtain at stanmason.com, on Twitter at Officer Stan Mason, on YouTube and on Facebook as Stan Mason. Be safe and look out for one another.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.